Hey everybody, Jeff Dunham, how are you? My friend Matt McNeil. Oh Matt, we got a little bit of this camera covering up the other camera. That's not good. We're on Facebook and YouTube Live. Hold on, that's not good. We'll get this right. Hope everybody's having a nice Thursday afternoon. So we usually do this on Friday. We decided to do this on Thursday because tomorrow is, well, Matt, let's be honest. We think we were cannibalizing some of our own views because people will watch one video and, you know, we do the live thing and we always release a new video on Friday, which we're doing tomorrow. And tomorrow is going to be some of the best of Jose Jalapeno on Steak, right? By popular request, yeah. And in these times, it's very interesting. People want to see him. And so, sorry, I'm just getting the best camera angle possible for the YouTube folks. There it is. No, I think we're even. So for those of you who don't know, we're on Facebook Live and on YouTube Live. So, yeah, people really request it. And we thought, what the heck, why not? And Jose goes back, in my act, decades. Goes back to 1983, I think it was, when I came out to Los Angeles and did a few shows with him. And my agent at the time said it was brilliant. And he kind of took off after that. I was still at Baylor, going to Baylor in Waco, Texas. But I would come out here every once in a while to Los Angeles and do some shows at clubs and just kind of get my feet wet to see if I was going to be able to make it in the real comedy world. And as we all know, it never worked out. So, by the way, for those of you who have never joined us before, we're in my office. And my office is a little wackadoodle. Ashlyn, my middle daughter, was over here yesterday. She's been helping us with a lot of stuff. And I said, I want to clean up my office, get rid of some of this crap. She's like, no, this is all you. You got to keep all this stuff. Most of it's really cool. There's a few things you got to get rid of. But those dummies over there in the corner, that little tiny one, the smaller one with the orange hair, that's Mortimer Snerd, my first dummy ever. There's some Captain Action stuff up there. Captain Action was an action figure back in the 70s. And just cool. Look them up on eBay. They're all over the place. There's a G.I. Joe holding an American flag. There is one of the aliens from Mars Attacks. And again, a little trivia. So when I was building the original Mars Attacks dummy, I mean the original Achmed, the dead terrorist dummy, his eyes were giant. I didn't have giant eyes like that. I couldn't buy any. And I asked my special effects friend who built special effects stuff. And I said, do you got any big eyes? And he goes, hang on. And he rumbles through his junk and pulls out two eyes. He had helped build some of the original actual figures that were used in the Mars Attacks movie. And so those were extra eyeballs he had. So Achmed's eyes are actually eyeballs from the Martians in Mars Attacks. Anyway, so Matt, today we thought we had this labeled as the best of or the worst of all my worst. Well, for every character that I have that has succeeded, there has been at least two dummies that were complete failures and duds. And I call them, what the hell was I thinking? Right?
I think we all have that file somewhere.
Well, sure. Any creative person, you got a box of stuff where it's like, what the hell? You know the greatest artist in the history of the world either crinkled things up or tore them up or smashed them. You know,
Didn't they say that like the Mona Lisa has like five paintings underneath it? They x-rayed it or something.
I have a book, an amazing book. That's the inside of Mona Lisa. And it shows, they did all that scientific, and it's fascinating. Just what they were able to find with the layers and the stuff and what he did before. And, you know, it is, amazing. Leonardo. Anyway, I saw a bunch of comments already on some of the toys when I was naming them. Okay, for those of you again curious, this shelf up here is more my Charlie McCarthy stuff, and that's Edgar Bergen was the most prolific and famous ventriloquist in the history of the world, and this is some of the stuff from when he was popular. He was the Seinfeld of the radio era. That's a Charlie McCarthy radio. There's a Mortimer Snerd hand puppet. All kinds of things. There's a clock, a really rare clock. I have three clocks, which were owned by Zeno Klinker, who was Edgar Bergen's head writer. What else? You see the Hot Wheels. You see the Frankenstein. These are called, that's King Ding.
King Ding?
King Ding the robot. Yeah, from the Ding-a-Lings. And I have all the ding-a-ling robots over there, but King Ding was the big guy. He's awesome. He has a little brain. There's a little elevator inside there. It goes up, and a little brain robot works him, and he walks, and it's horrible. It's awful, but it's fantastic because it's so horrible. You can barely see. You can't see it on YouTube, but on Facebook you can see there's a little bit of a Frankenstein mask there. That's a Ben Cooper mask. Man, I got to grab that. This is for you. You're a mask guy.
Oh, yeah. I have to tell you that I'm not too young not to have remembered the Ben Cooper masks.
Yeah. Well, this was one of my favorite masks when I was a kid, was the Frankenstein mask. And these I'm missing the elastic back there. That was what the killer thing was, the elastic. Yeah. So, Ben Cooper, made in the
USA. Everybody that's complaining about wearing masks to stores and whatnot. Try wearing that for 4 hours.
Yeah, wear that for 4 hours. Yeah, and you had this little teeny, itty-bitty hole to breathe out of. And it was always soaking wet, and everything was all sweaty by the time you were done.
It's all running down your neck, and that plastic bib.
Whatever this plastic is great. I mean, this was a flocked one, by the way. The hair is flocked, so that's kind of a more valuable one, yeah.
I love the big orange bolts on his neck. That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. So this one must be sanctioned by Universal because it has the bolts. And we learned that from Mining the Monsters when Walter was Frankenstein, that we couldn't use the bolts or the scar, right? Those were two of their two big things that we couldn't get licensed. And so we had to make a version of Frankenstein that was not that did not use the Universal pieces or iterations of Frankenstein that they had licensed, or that they had copyrighted. What is it? I don't know what it is. So, again, Ron to Jose Jalapeno, for those of you who cared, his video is going to be released tomorrow. Are we going at 10 a.m. Pacific?
I think so, yeah. That's what we've been doing lately. That's worked out pretty well.
All right, 10 a.m. Pacific tomorrow is the best of both it's on YouTube, and it's going to be some of the best of Jose Jalapeno on a stick. And again, I have always tried to be very respectful of who he is and what he is, and not make fun of anything having to do with his race. I mean, he's a Mexican jalapeno on a stick, and people love that guy. And so I've been very careful throughout the years, and you'll see in some of these video clips that you picked out, Matt, that you picked out, and then I went yeah or no, but usually it's yeah. You have a good eye and a good ear for that stuff, for what I like. What was I gonna say? But you'll see that Jose actually has the upper stick.
he
gets the upper stick on Peanut most of the time, so it's pretty great. Anybody else looking at crap? That's an original Star Wars poster. What now?
Oh,
sorry.
I was just saying, before we leave Jose, I thought it might be interesting if you talked about when we shot Beside Himself in Dallas, that in that special when you went to go introduce Jose.
Oh, yeah.
That was all legit.
Yeah, so in the special in Dallas that we shot, how long has it been now? It's been only 18 months, right?
Yeah, about a year ago.
So when we shot the special in Dallas, you know, the racial stuff it's a big thing. It's a big concern. And I, you know, I don't want to be labeled a racist. I created a few characters. I created Sweet Daddy D to try and make fun of racism. Now, stupid it is to try and reverse it, get to make fun of white people. So with Jose, we did I had people in my camp getting ready to do the special that said, you can't do Jose anymore. And I go, I think it's okay. And of course, it didn't matter where we were, Matt, because I've now, since that first night when I did it in Dallas, I've done it in every corner of the country and I get the same reaction. And, I said, some people say Jose shouldn't be in the show anymore and it gets a boo. And I say, well, let's take a legitimate vote. All those who think Jose should not be in the act, let's hear a round of applause. I mean, 10,000, 12,000 people, 3,000 people, whatever it is, it's always dead silent. And then, okay, who thinks it's okay to have Jose in the act? You want to see him tonight? The roof comes off the joint. So, again, have we all changed throughout the years? Are we more conscious of certain things? Of course, of course. But at the same time, I still try and have fun with comedy. And what is comedy? It's just the unexpected. It's the comedian trying to think outside the box. What makes you laugh? either the comedian saying something you never thought of, or he's able to take your thoughts that you've had that are kind of nebulous and encapsulate them in one simple sentence, and you're like, why didn't I think of that way? That's hilarious. So that's, you know, those are two ways that make the human mind, that make you laugh. And I try and do that with Jose. But I want to show just a little bit about Jose, because I said, just a real quick history of him. I was in college at Baylor University, and in 1983, I was working at KWTX Radio. Again, I've never had a real job, but I was the morning guy there for a few months. I've always been doing just the ventriloquism, and that wasn't a real job. I was a radio, TV, and film major, and so I had that job in the mornings over there. I was the morning drive guy. But they had me do some ads for Papa Rolo's Pizza, some radio ads, and I created this theater of the mind with a bunch of characters that ran around on top of the pizza. And they would have dialogue, and it would be just a radio commercial. And I had Tootsie Tomato, Otis Olive, Tony the Talking Meatball, and Jose Jalapeno. And so the ad campaign went so well, I thought, I'm going to make a pizza with all these talking ingredients on top. So I made a bunch of little guys. And the first one I did, I made a little tomato, a little olive, and they're all like this big. And then the first one I decided to finish, it was going to be a pizza, and all the ingredients were going to pop up on top of the pizza. It was going to be a big, giant pizza on stage, and they'd pop up. And the first one I finished was Jose Jalapeno on a stick. Jose Jalapeno. And I put him on a stick after I painted him and put him in the window to dry, just because he was on the stick. A football friend of mine, football player friend of mine upstairs in the apartment complex came down, and David Letterman had Larry Bud Melman on the show, and one of his bits was toast on a stick. So the on a stick thing was kind of popular, at least where we were in Texas. So the guy comes downstairs, sees Jose, and he goes, look, Jose Jalapeno, look, a jalapeno on a stick. And I went, yes, it is. Yep, and so that's it. I threw away the rest of the pizza, and it became Jose Jalapeno on a stick. And that very first guy is right here, and that's the very first Jose Jalapeno on a stick. And he's on a dowel. How can I do this? Oh, there he is right there. And he would be like this. And that's the Jose. And I made a little hat, a little sombrero, a little stem sticking out. And this guy's made out of plastic wood. And, you know, I love this guy. I painted him, and that's the original dude. It's as simple as that. And I would have him on stage sitting on this stand like this. And Matt, I don't know if you know this part or not, but this would be on the stand on next to me and Peanut. And so I would just reach over and work him with my left hand. But this little thing down here, you know what that is? Did I ever tell you that?
I do. I know
it. Oh, you know that? Okay, that's an olive. And not animated or anything, but every once in a while I would just add in the voice as if that olive was talking.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So that's the original Jose.
I'm just curious about the original Jose. You talked about he's made of plastic wood, but... Like, did you literally sculpt him in plastic wood, or did you make a mold?
I sculpted him, typical way. I sculpted him in clay first, and then made a one-piece plaster Paris mold, just one piece, because the back is nothing. It's just a scoop. And then yeah. I'd take the plastic Paris mold, which was the negative, and then take the plastic wood dough, which was a very different formula back then. Much more toxic, much more dangerous, and a lot better.
And that's why he's still around.
Yeah, that's why he's still here. he'll survive the first nuclear holocaust. So that's him. And I put the movements on there, and that's that. So that's the first one. And then he was popular. And it got to, even back then, I'd been doing Jose for years and years. If I would leave him out of the show, people who had heard of my show, I hadn't been on TV back then. But people would, if I'd leave him out, people would get upset. And to this day, if I leave him out of the show, people get upset. But then there were a few iterations. I got in a show called Sugar Babies, which was a Broadway show with Mickey Rooney and Ann Miller. Was with them for a year. This Jose was too small. So I made a bigger Jose out of fiberglass. But it was horrible. It was awful. And it actually fell apart. I didn't know what I was doing back then. I have pieces of him left. And then when he started falling apart, I called Verna Finley, who made the original Peanut. Because I wanted a soft Jose. I thought a Muppet like Jose. So she actually built this guy. Man, I think you've seen this guy. But this was now the third Jose Jalapeno. But he's plush. He's foam and cloth. And so I used this guy for years. Photo sessions. You can find old photos with me of this guy. But this was the Jose Jalapeno for years and years and years. And then a little bit of trivia, to make sure that he fit in the little box so I could transport him easily, the stick comes apart like this.
Oh, so that's the first version that has the two-piece stick.
Yeah, the two-piece stick. That's right. And you can see in some of the photos, I would actually say sometimes when we would do the photo shoots, nah, leave the gap there. Don't. Well, there wasn't Photoshop back then, but it was like, don't airbrush it out. Leave it in there. So that little gap, that's just a little trivia for me. So that was him. And again, I used him for years. And then I thought it was time for me to make my own. I want to do a shout out here. Nacho Estrada's son, I think his name was Toby. I think that's right. Toby was just a kid at the Ventriloquist Convention and sketched a little Jose Jalapeno on a napkin just for fun. He showed it to me and I went, oh, that is the perfect iteration of Jose Jalapeno. And that became my logo for years, is it, because I took that, and that was when Photoshop was in like version 1.5, right? And I scanned it, I put it in the computer, and I colorized it with the airbrush in Photoshop, and that became my my logo for my company, On a Stick Productions, for years. Oh, I want to tell you a quick story about On a Stick Productions. So that was back in the late 80s, early 90s, when I was doing shows everywhere. And I did a show at a Baptist church. And I can't remember the name of the church, but they called me. And when I went back, I was out in California by then. So it was probably 88 or 89. But I went back to Texas to do a show. And he said, we didn't get the check cut. I said, that's okay. Just call me on Monday and we'll... He said, we'll set up the, you know, I'll have my secretary call you and we'll get the check cut. So she called me out in California. She goes, now, what's the name of the company? I said, On a Stick Productions. She goes, okay. I'm like, yeah. Okay. On a Stick Productions. So I get the, she kind of giggled and I'm like, this is weird. So I get the check in the mail about a week later. And you know this story, right, Matt?
I don't think I know this one.
Oh my gosh. So again, a Baptist church, right? Southern Baptist Church wrote me the check. This poor girl in the office, she misunderstood me over the phone. The check was made out to Honest Dick Productions.
Oh, no.
Yep. So anyway, all right. So that was at Jose. And now we move on to the modern Jose, which is made out of fiberglass, sculpted just like Toby's drawing. And, or somewhat like it, but there it is right there. That's Jose Jalapeno on a stick. And obviously much bigger than the original Jose, which is this big. So yeah, teeny tiny and big. And so this Jose has worked for years and years. And there's also a second version of this guy, Matt, that I use on the road. And this guy does not have the split stick. This is our photo and video, Jose Jalapeno on a stick. And then there's the road version.
He's lighter for, yeah. Production purposes, yes.
Yeah, a little bit lighter, yeah. And the one I use on the road is a slightly darker eyes and slightly darker skin and a split stick. So there's the trivia for everybody. Si, senor. It is nice to be here. Good. Si. Mm-hmm. And Jose, you know, your video is coming out tomorrow.
I would like to see my video on the television.
Okay. We'll watch it on the computer, too.
Hockey dog.
Mm-hmm. You've been having a nice time during the COVID?
No.
What have you been doing?
Laying around.
Okay. Yeah, that's about it.
Not much more.
You know, no. I have to say, in a lot of the YouTube videos that we've done, Jeff,
yeah.
Jose, particularly like in the Halloween that we did last year, really kind of steals the show. Do you remember the one I'm talking about?
No, what happened?
Well, they're using the Ouija board.
Right.
And Jose decides to stop the evil by jumping on the planchette.
Oh, that's right.
And he ends up riding all over the room.
So that was the Halloween one just last year?
Yeah, that was...
Oh my gosh, this pandemic is crazy. That was right before it all went to hell. All right. So yeah, look at our Halloween video from last year. That was really fun. You're right. Jose had a big part in that. It was great. Yeah, your special effects were masterful, Matt.
See, I did not really steal around or fly away.
Don't give away the secrets.
Okay.
See. All right. So,
which reminds me, we need to start thinking about a new Halloween video, Jose.
Go ahead, ask him.
I don't know how we're going to shoot the Halloween video with you not here.
Yeah, Matt can't come
we'll
here.
Figure something
no,
out.
No, Senor Matt is not allowed in the house. Mm-mm. Because he has COVID.
No, Matt does not have COVID.
I think he does. That's why he does not come around here. Hey, are your kids going to school?
Well, if the dining room is considered school, then yes.
Wow, that's tough. Yep. Oh, yeah. Well.
No, it's not okay.
Somebody said, Jose, do you hate peanut?
With a passion.
Why do you hate Jose so much?
He's annoying.
Annoying.
He's annoying as hell.
Okay.
I saw some guy just write on the, which one is the camera on my left?
You want to point to it?
It's not funny.
Okay. This one right here.
He asked. I forgot what he asked.
Okay. So somebody says, yeah, Halloween is... Sharon Pasquin says, hola, Jose.
Hola, senorita Sharon.
Anyway, so Jose, you can't wait to get back on the road.
I want to do some more of the shows, please, senor.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like sitting around your house.
Okay. Child, we both grew up in Dallas, Texas. You lived in Plano. I went to Memorial. Whoever just said that, I went to Richardson High School, so there you go. I lived on Briar Cove. My mom doesn't live there anymore.
No. Hockey dog.
All right, Matt, should we answer some questions?
Yeah. Dark Forest Zombie has asked a few times, how do you come up with your character designs?
The character designs, I come up with them in my head first. And then lately, the last few, it's been great because my friend and amazing artist, Tom Richmond, who worked for Mad Magazine, the now sadly defunct Mad Magazine, he was one of their main artists. I call him, I describe the character to him. He then sketches out his version of the character, what he thinks I'm saying, and he puts his amazing ability into caricaturizing whatever it is that I say. And then he sends me that, and then I sculpt them out in clay and try and get as close to what Tom does, or if I want anything different, I make it a little different. Now we have the clay head, and there's the character. And I just kind of think up characters in my head that I think would be fun. So I think the, I don't know why I can't say this, the British life coach, I think is a great idea. That's one of my next one. I think he's going to be British and he's going to be a life coach because we had that in the video, the Christmas video from 2 years ago, right?
Yeah, 2018. It was the Christmas dinner one.
The Christmas dinner, yeah. And there's what's called an Insel figure made by the figure maker's last name was Insel and British. And what's different about ventriloquist dummies, usually made in Great Britain, usually they have leather mouths and not the slot jaw. So they kind of move their lips like this, and he was that, and he poked his head around the corner. He was Bubba J's life coach, and it was just, to me, it was just laugh out loud funny. It's just stupid funny.
Total non sequitur.
Yeah, exactly. But the voice and the character, to me, is just like, you know, really funny. And I think since we're getting ready to have some shows in the UK, whenever all this COVID thing goes away, whenever it's cured, I think he would be great. The Irish people loved Seamus. The drunken Irish baby, and I think the British folks would love the British life coach. Elderly guy, a little bit portly, heavy accent. I think it'd be great. It's in my blood. I could do that.
Shana Jacobowski wants to know, why don't you have any girl characters?
Why don't I? Okay, so we labeled the video this week. We teased it yesterday as I want to show you the best of my failures. All my Is it the best or the worst failures? I don't know what it is. So,
Let's call them the best.
And here's what happened. We're going to do that next week. And the reason we're not doing it today is because I started scrambling this morning, as I usually do. I take the boys to wherever they're going to be today. And either here or whatever. Put them in the living room and they for the next 2 hours. And so I started going through the house and collecting all these puppets and characters. There's no organization around here. I put them all different places. And I thought I had most of the failures here at the house. I think for my own mental, I don't know, to keep me from going insane, for my mental health, I think I have weeded those things out of this house, Matt, and I put them all at the warehouse in storage. So I thought there was like one or two over there, and that there were like four or five here. Nope. The only one I found was down on the floor, which I'm going to show in a second. So I'm very sorry, but we'll do that one next week. And it's the best of my worst failures, or the worst of my best failures, however you want to put it, which includes Diane. And she was a female character that I used in a movie called Dinner for Schmucks, which starred Steve Carell and Paul Rudd. And I was one of the schmucks, believe it or not. And I was a guy who thought that this ventriloquist dummy that I had built was actually my real wife. And she was Diane. And I built her for the show. And then we got licensed. Jay Roach was the director. And we got all the rights to be able to use Diane on the road, which cost a lot of money with lawyers. And I wanted to be able to use her in my act after the movie came out. And I tried my best for 3 months to try and make Diane work. My trouble is, every character that I have, and I've said this so many times, I have to be able to think like that person. I have to have a little bit of them in me for me, that character, to be legit. Like every actor, I think you draw from something. If not, you research it, you study it, you become that person. I, for the life of me, with three daughters, you know, and my mom, and at that time, you know, Audrey and I were just engaged. We weren't married yet, were we? No. So many women in my life, and I could not figure out how a woman thought. When someone would ask a question, I could not ad lib with that dummy because I could not come up with the answer. What would a woman say to that question? I don't know. So she just, it didn't work out because I couldn't be funny as a woman. It just didn't work. Ahmed the Dead Terrorist, I completely understand that guy.
Right, yeah.
We all do with road rage. We're road rage or whatever. We all want to do horrible things, but we don't because we have a you know, a filter or a valve or a, you know. But, you know, we all get angry, really, really angry. I don't understand killing people, but I understand getting really, really angry. So that's Ahmed. Anyway.
So Bob Atherton wants to know, what's the strangest character you've created?
We will not be able to show him next week because he is in storage in my storage thing in Dallas, which I got right before I moved to Los Angeles in 1988. So that stuff has been stored there since I moved away from Waco in 88. And one of those things is in there. Yeah. And here it is. So I had Jose Jalapeno on a stick, right? I thought the talking food thing was great. I was on the road with Sugar Babies. This was 1985. I was on the road with Sugar Babies, and I thought, I think of something brilliant. And again, I was on the road with all these showgirls and one other guy, Barry, my friend. And, you know, Barry and I would talk, and I don't know what happened. Too many hours on the road, talking to the wrong people. But I came up with this thing. I'm even embarrassed. You know what I'm going to say, Matt, right?
I don't.
He's, you
if
know?
It's in that storage thing.
Oh, man. He's 3 feet tall. He's huge. Huge. Giant egg. It's a giant egg. I don't know why I thought this would be funny. A giant talking egg. What is wrong with me? And here's the worst part. And again, I have to qualify it by saying I was 23 years old. I didn't know what I was doing. I named him Egglebert Humpty Dink.
Oh, no.
And again, I say stuff like that. I wonder, how did I get to where I've gotten?
Well, sometimes you got to break a few eggs to make
them. Oh, no, no.
Sorry.
Yeah. So that thing's in storage and good riddance. Should be there and stay there.
Yeah. All right, next time you go to Dallas, you got to break that guy out of here. We got to see him.
I got to break out the egg. I get it. Make a giant omelet.
Actually, I didn't mean that pun.
Yeah. All right.
The thing that I think is most interesting is that in Texas, you guys put jalapenos on your pizza.
Well, who doesn't?
I've never put a jalapeno pepper on a pizza.
I just noticed you have an arrow on your head. Sorry about that. You've never had jalapenos on a pizza?
Never. I'm going to try it. Next time I get a pizza, I'm going to break out the pepper. You cook them on them or do you put them cold?
No, either way. But usually hot. You cook them in there.
Oh, wow. That sounds good, but I've never done that.
I don't know who you are. Yeah, Sean says so. You got Sean just said so. You got egg on your face. Bah. That was the trouble. That was the trouble with that character. Is everything was puns. Everything was puns, and you know how much I love puns.
Well, your favorite.
I want to punch people in the face.
Occasionally, I'll send you a Facebook meme that is like a really bad pun, and I just wait for your reaction.
Wait to be fired, right?
I'm waiting for the cyber grill.
I've fired opening acts because of puns.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Jay Brown wants to know, what do you think your next puppet is going to be?
I don't know. Like I said, I love the idea of that British life coach. I just think he's funny. I even have Tom Richmond already did some drawings, a couple of iterations of what he thought it would look like. And I picked, and he cleaned it up a little bit, made a couple little changes. And I think that's going to be it. You know, and I wonder if he should be, as I said, but small. Portly but small.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Like a little dude.
Yeah, a little guy. I just think that would be funnier. Todd,
Earl has yet to.
What am I talking about? Earl has not gotten on stage yet. So somebody just said, "What are the three dolls behind you?" They're not dolls. They're ventriloquist figures. So they're dummies. Okay, so for those of you who joined us late, the little orange one is a little plastic vinyl Mortimer Schnurd, my very first dummy from 1969 when I was a kid. There's a picture of me with mom and... Hold on. I'm coming back. Here we go. Hang on. Wait for it. Okay. There's a better picture, but here's one of my mom and me when I got that first dummy. There it is. And my mom, what is she? How is she dressed on Christmas morning? No one knows, but she looks all surprised, like, "Oh, look what Santa Claus brought!" Yeah, so that's that little guy up in the corner there.
Now, was Mortimer the first ventriloquist performing dummy that you had seen? Not toy that you could actually purchase, but who was the first ventriloquist performance?
I have no idea. I almost credit Big Tex. If anybody doesn't know what Big Tex is, Big Tex is the big symbol of the State Fair of Texas. And as a kid, before I was a ventriloquist, I would see Big Tex with a big giant moving mouth, and he's huge. I don't know how tall he is. He's huge. 50 feet? He's got to be higher than that. I don't know where he is. 80 feet? I don't know. Anyway, hey, Google that, Matt. How tall is Big Tex? Can you not do that?
Hold on, I'll be right. Hold on, I'll be right back.
Okay, good. How tall is Big Tex? So anyway, I think that was my first example of a big giant or a dummy with a moving mouth that could talk, and so maybe that was the first thing. And then I saw Mortimer Schnurd in the toy store when I was in the third grade, and I said, "I want that." So there it is.
55 feet.
50. Oh, I was close. So 55 feet. Yay. All right, what else?
Let's see.
We have nowhere to go today. We're just saying hi because the video, the Some of the Best of Jose Jalapeno is premiering tomorrow at 10 a.m. I'm not going to introduce it. We're just going to do it. So be watching out for your notices when that goes up, and it'll be great. All right, Matt, one or two more minutes, we'll get out of here. So by the way, so that's Mortimer Schnurd. The other two are what are called McElroy ventriloquist figures, and George and Glenn McElroy were figure makers back during the Depression, and these are known as the Cadillac of ventriloquist dummies, and they said Cadillac back then. I've just kept it. Today it would be the Porsche, I guess. I don't know what. The McLaren? No. The Ford GT. The Ford GT of ventriloquist dummies. That's it.
Right, they're American made.
Yeah. You're right. Yeah. Oh, what am I talking about? Yeah, of course. And should I grab one real quick? Why not, Matt? I'll grab one. Hang on.
Sure.
1 second. All right. See, Mortimer doesn't want to fall down. Oh, man, I forgot to show you something I wanted to show everybody after this. Okay, so this is Ollie, and his original name was Ezri, and he was used by... hold on a second. There we go. Okay, so this dummy is really complicated because of all the different movements that he makes. And, you know, most ventriloquist dummies have mouth and eyes. Mine have moving mouth, moving eyes, and maybe moving eyebrows like Ahmed. But this guy does amazing things. And it's unbelievably complicated inside. But he moves his mouth like this.
Hello.
Right? You sound a lot like Peanut.
I wonder why.
Yeah, he was my main character for many, many years. Well, a few years. 3, 4, 5 years.
And, but not so much anymore.
Nope.
Now I sit on that shelf next to that stinky little old Mortimer doll, and it's lots of fun.
Okay,
yeah, thanks a lot. Right, yeah. Do I ever get to come back?
We should put you in a video.
Can I go to video Matt? I'd like to go to video Matt.
Okay, so that's one of the examples here. The lower jaw.
La, 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 la.
And the upper lip. Okay, and the eyes are different because instead of controlling the eyes with a control, you just tilt the head. So if he wants to look left, tilt the head to the right. Want to look to the right, tilt the head to the left. Up is like this, and down is like that. Eyebrows, do that. And it's interesting because they pivot right over here instead of a slot. And I make all my dummies that way where they pivot right there. Hair, woo, so look surprised. All right, so his hair flips up like that. His ears will stick out like this.
Mm-hmm.
And he can smell things. And what if you don't like what you smell? And you can't see the nose light up. Can you see that nose light up? A little bit? Yeah?
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit. All right. So the nose lights up red for when he's drunk. What happens when you look drunk? What do you do?
How hard is it to change that bulb?
Oh, the bulb's not too hard. There's a little pivot pin right here. Knock it out. Pull the nose off. Change the bulb. It's a little screw-in bulb. Typical flashlight bulb from way back when. And the batteries in 1937 are the same as we have today. It's a D cell. No, it's two C cells. Wow. Two C cells. So,
These guys were doing this out of their garage?
These guys were barely out of high school, no formal training, and they were putting out stuff like this. And the mechanics on these things are absolutely unbelievably great. And George, before he passed away, gave me all his secrets on painting. He was the artist. Glenn was the mechanist. But George would sculpt the head, then give it to Glenn, who would put all the mechanics in, and then George would take it back and paint it and put the wig on it and all that. But he taught me all his painting techniques. When I got this guy, he was a mess, so I rebuilt him. I even made the tongue. The tongue was missing. And so I made the tongue per what Glenn told me to do. Glenn drew me some drawings and showed me how to do it. And did that, and then I painted him with George's techniques, and this is what he is today.
Ta-da!
Mm-hmm.
It is just so much fun. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You want to see how he works?
No, don't take the head off!
Yeah, take your head off. Don't take the head off! Here we go.
Okay, fine.
Here we go. Oh, one other thing. He's got a little receptacle in here where you can put a lit cigarette. He put the cigarette. Then there's a pneumatic bulb down inside there. You squeeze it and then let it out. It draws in the air. It draws in the smoke. You flip a lever, then squeeze the other pneumatic bulb, or same bulb, but you flip a lever, which is a valve, changes the route of the smoke, squeeze it, and it blows smoke out of his ears.
So you've literally got to have four arms to operate.
Oh, it's not easy. There's a lot of controls going on in here. I mean,
it's like playing a clarinet.
Oh, yeah, exactly. You'll see in a second. Then there was one other pneumatic bulb that was full of water, and you'd squeeze it, and he'd spit between his teeth there. He was a stream of water. So clearly, here's the reason I don't use this stuff, Matt. Clearly what these dummies were made for was entertaining people, but it was for people who didn't know how to tell a joke. You know what I mean? It's all these mechanical things that would do fun things, and it's great to see one time. But now we've spent how many minutes? Just like, 4 minutes now, and I've demonstrated this guy without any jokes, and it's still amusing, but now we're done.
Right.
I got another hour and 45 minutes to entertain. So, you know, this is fun, but I like the simplicity of even Jose Jalapeno. You know what I mean? Jose lived every bit as much as this guy does, and all Jose does was move his mouth, and he's on a stick. But let me show you how this works. This is sacrilegious, but I'm going to show you how this works. We're going to take his head off. I have to turn it backwards because there's a locking mechanism. So here he is. And here are the controls on this guy. And you can see they look like typewriter keys. But they're not. They're basically washers welded. And also, Matt, they didn't have the brass that we had back then for this stuff. So they used steel. And he welded all this stuff. all that stuff there. And again, and for the front, there's the front. So like there's how you move the mouth like that. There's how you move the upper lip. To move the eyebrows, you squeeze this thing, which raises the eyebrows up and down. So my hand is basically, when I have it in there, is basically like this. So I'm working these things, and then I can reach back here and do any combination of keys in the back to do the other expressions. Yeah. So you do have to have it is like a clarinet where you really got to know what you're doing. Oh, I forgot to show the cross-eye movement. Oh, and I didn't show all of them. So there's a cross-eye movement. Then there's this where you can look sleepy. You can do one winker like that. And those are leather. So yeah.
Wow.
And again, the sniffing of the nose and the ears. So, yay.
How do you not like accidentally make his ears go when you're trying to cross his eyes?
I don't know. It's like a musical instrument. You do it long enough, you know what you're doing. You're not going to make a mistake. And I practiced with this guy for years. Practice meaning show after show after show after show. And also this paint texture. I love the paint texture. And again, that's some of the stuff that George taught me. That it's got a really, it's just, to me, it's just beautiful. I'm patting myself on the back, but I love this guy. Oh, and the eyes. I did not touch the eyes. That's George's artwork. Those eyes are amazing. All hand-painted. Every bit of that's hand-painted. There's the nose. Here's the light up. There's the light. Yeah, you can see it. And that's one of the tricks, though. I had to paint it so it looked like a nose, but the paint had to be translucent enough that you could kind of see it light up. But I thought sitting still was more important than being able to see through it. So there you go. All right, so we did some stuff that didn't think we were going to do today. Oh, I got to show you the one stupid thing I want to show you, Matt. This is more car related. Ready? Okay.
Yep.
So whenever we do these videos out in my studio out there, as we call it, what's in the background is some of my stereo stuff, and I love analog stereo stuff from the 70s. There's a warmth to it. There's a sound that you just don't get with the stuff today. You do not get it today, what they had back then. And what's really kind of weird. You also see that stuff. Now the 8-track tapes, obviously horrible fidelity. They were awful. Just god awful. Cassettes weren't much better. But there is a certain sound to an 8-track tape in a car. That if you knew that sound back then, and you're sitting in a car from the 70s, like my 79 Trans Am, the anniversary, and you put an 8-track tape in, and that horrible stereo turns on, you're like, oh, it transports you back. It's like a smell that'll transport you to childhood, something you knew. Well, that sound, it's like no other sound. It's not good, but it's a warmth and something special about it that you go, man, I remember this. Well, so when people see the stereo in my office, they go, why do you have 8-tracks? It's because of the cars. Because when I started collecting the cars, a lot of them had 8-track players in them, and I wanted them to be legit. So Matt, if the 8-track player doesn't work in the vehicle, I'll either get it fixed or find a replacement on eBay, one that's, you know, vintage and perfect, right? So then I started collecting 8-track tapes. Right?
Nice.
Yeah. I was going through the storage the other day looking for something, and I ran across this. I'd forgotten all about it, because I got a guy's collection of 8-track tapes. But what made this thing magical, and again, for I don't know what percentage of the people in people watching this last night, right now, will have any idea what I'm talking about or know what this is. But Matt, I pulled this out, and I could not believe it. I'd forgotten I'd gotten this thing. But it's the rack. For 8-track tapes.
I remember those.
Yeah, of course. Wow. And it spins around like this. It's just awful. But here's the great part. Look what I got. Oh, is it backwards for everybody? Those are all Beatles 8-track tapes.
No, YouTube's correct. Let me look at Facebook here. Hold on.
Yeah. Yeah, these are all Beatles tapes. But then you come around here. Let's see. Oh, those are Muntz. Those are 4-track Muntz tapes for my Muntz. The Muntz Jet. And this is the one I made for everyone to see. This is true. This is it. So I can't read everything backwards. So what do we got? Oh, we got the Beatles. Then we got the Eagles, their greatest hits, 71 to 75. Disco Rock. I don't know what Disco Rock is. I've yet
but
to.
I bet K-Tel sold it.
Hold on. Let's see what it looks like here. Of course it is.
The Month Club.
Look at Disco Rock.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Oh, here are the songs. Hold on. The Three Degrees. BT Express. Do It. Oh, I remember that one. Oh, so yeah, you're right. This is probably like a K-Tel thing where they have like 2 minutes of a 4 minute song. Mac Davis is on here. Oh my gosh, this is horrible. Okay, so no, not that Mac Davis is horrible, but the 8-track is horrible. Led Zeppelin, House of the Holy. Oh, you got to have that one.
There you go.
Chicago 18 and Chicago 6. Awesome. Chicago 18. That's not it. That's just Chicago. Oh, that's got to be. Is that their first album? What? Wait a minute. Oh, and we got to find this guy, Matt.
Who?
Gerald?
Gerald Topliff.
Gerald Topliff. I actually looked him up on Facebook and couldn't find him. But his name is Gerald Topliff. Hold on, there's another one over here. So that's kid writing. The guy had to be like in junior high or something. But he had Simon and Garfunkel, Bridge Over Troubled Water.
He had good taste in music.
Yeah, sure, why not? So anybody knows Gerald Topliff, let me know. The guy's got to be probably in his 60s now, I bet.
Yeah, it depends on when he wrote that. He could have been 7 in 19.
Yeah, you're right. That's more like an 8-year-old's writing. But what's an 8-year-old doing listening to Led Zeppelin?
He might have been a really cool 8-year-old.
I guess so. And in that time, that meant he was going to hell, too.
Yeah, right. Oh, my God.
All right. Well, this has been fun. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We've actually been increasing numbers here on Facebook. It's been fun. So YouTube is holding strong. All right, do we answer a couple more questions that are out here? Diane Rock says, I still own my Sega and Atari. I that's another thing that's buried in my, I think, in my storage unit in Dallas. I think my original Atari is still in there.
Wow. 2600? Wasn't that what it was?
I don't know. All I know is it had paddles that gave you, that was the first indication of tunnel carpal syndrome. Yeah.
Do you remember just after that, there was also Intellivision and then ColecoVision.
Oh, sure.
Which then became Nintendo. But those were like, that was my childhood, you know, the Intellivision and Coleco.
Everybody's saying yes to 2600. So it was like black and it had a little fake wood grain on it, right? And the paddles were black.
Right.
And the paddles were black with orange buttons, right?
Yeah, and the precursor for that was just Pong. Remember, it had like the little dials.
I remember Christmas one year when my cousins, Julian Charles, got his name was Carey at the time. It was Julian Carey, and they got Pong for Christmas one year, and it was awesome. And anybody who's ever played Pong, yeah.
Well, it's simple, but you could play that forever.
You could play for hours. It's just like, I'm just ashamed at how much time I wasted on that stupid thing.
Our kids would literally be like, what is this garbage?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Anyway, all right. Is it stressful to talk? Yes.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Yeah. I was going to say, Gal Heppitz wants to know, is Earl a permanent character?
I don't know if Earl, and those of you who haven't seen, Earl is spelled URL. He is an internet guy, lives in a basement, and he's the latest character, and I don't know if he's going to be a permanent or not. I'm not bothering to write material, a lot of material yet, until we get out of this thing, because if I write material now, it's going to be old in 2 weeks. You know?
Right, yeah, the news changes so quickly.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, when there's a, hey, we're going to go do a show, then I'm going to start writing furiously for what's ever going on right then, and we'll joke about it. So Earl will come into the picture on stage when we're going to be on stage, and whatever's going on then is what he's going to joke about. We'll do some more videos with him. And we got our new video coming out next week, Matt. I'm very excited about this one. It's going to be a debate video.
Yes.
And so far, I'm loving it. We were going to have it out this week, but I ran into a couple speed bumps. But we'll have it out next. Hopefully, our goal is to have it out next Friday. But again, tomorrow at 10 a.m. Pacific is some of the best of Jose Jalapeno Anistik. All right. Jeff Dunham, does your Sinclair machine work? What is my Sinclair machine?
The wax dinosaurs.
Oh, that Sinclair. I was thinking Sinclair the Black Watch. Here, I'll show you something else stupid. Okay, ready? Show you something else stupid. So this is a watch. Why am I showing these dumb things? The Black Watch by Sinclair was this right here. And this was a watch kit from 1975, 76. I built this thing when I was 13 years old. Hold on a second.
I remember that. Yeah. Those things.
Yeah, of course. Hang on one second.
And that was like a big deal because it was like the LED.
Yeah, here's lineup, the kit. Right? Like the here's a kit, an unbuilt kit. Lines. Here's an unbuilt kit that I got on eBay, right? Unbuilt Black Watch kit by Sinclair. So I was 13 years old, and this is like micro small stuff that you got to solder. But so this was by Sinclair, and there it is. Da, 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 da. Look at that.
Oh, yeah, look at that.
So this was when digital watches were brand new. And I remember sitting in the theater when Live and Let Die came out. And the opening scene, the camera's going through the house, and you hear this beep, 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 beep. James Bond holds up his wrist. You see this on camera, and you see him do this, and that happened. That happens like this. The entire theater went, whoa. So, yeah, this is a Pulsar watch. From way back when, the LED.
Is Pulsar still a company?
I don't know. I have no idea. I think it is, but it's been bought out. You know, it's not them anymore. Can't get this to go off. Anyway, not long after that, Sinclair came out with the Black Watch kit, and I love these things. Hold on, where is it? What did I do with that picture? Yeah, I put it away somewhere. Hold on, no, don't go back. Wait, hold on.
Hold on, where are you going?
Hold on. Here it is. This is how much I love this thing. I found one of the original ads for the Black Watch and had it framed.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah. The Black Watch
kit. I love how much, like, mechanics is there, and then just the readout is only like this big.
But come on. Look at all the, you know, everything in there. It's like, and the fact that I built that when I was, huh?
$30. How much was that back in 1970?
Wait, hold on. Is that dollars? Yeah, that's dollars. $30. So let's do the math. So $30 in 1975. I can't. My phone's right there.
It's $4,000.
No, it's not. Hold on. Wait. Will Siri answer that?
Maybe. Or you would look
how
it up.
Much was look it up. $30 in 1975? Let's see.
Here's what I found.
Oh.
$145.
Oh, okay. That's not as bad as I thought.
Yeah. Anyway.
But for a 13-year-old kid, that's an expensive watch.
I got it for Christmas. I begged for it.
Oh.
Begged for
oh,
it.
Oh, so
Christmas.
Santa Claus and his elves made it. I got
no,
it.
My mom and dad did. Oh. So, yeah. Yeah. All right, great. Oh, and then they came out with a calculator kit. Stupid. Then Sinclair came out with a calculator kit, which I also got. And there was a digital calculator. This one, I don't think. Yeah,
well, Pygar 2 asked if your dinosaur machine works, and now we're talking about calculators.
Oh, sorry. Back to Sinclair. Sinclair, who made the watch. The dinosaur machine absolutely works. It works awesomely. Why don't I have a dinosaur in here? Oh, I took them all outside. Yeah. Okay, they're all outside.
I can attest, though. That thing is great.
Yeah, it's awesome. Many people have been burned by that. Yeah. My uncle-in-law, Johnny, he took it out of the machine too quick during a party and burned his hand. I felt horrible about it. But I've written a sign that said, don't pull it out too quick. And he burned his
hand. Yeah, oh, it can have a little bit of, like, melty goo in the...
Oh, yeah, molten hot, as my boys say, hot lava. But, yeah, the molten wax stuff. So, anyway. I want a peanut doll from Belgium, so is it possible? That's Valerie Dams. A peanut doll from... Why wouldn't you be able to get a peanut doll in Belgium? You just gotta go to my website and go to merchandise or stuff or whatever it's called and order it. Shipping is probably a bear, but, yeah. All right.
Remo wants to know what's your favorite movie.
Oh, man. I was asked that question somewhere live, and I looked like such an idiot. I don't know. I have no idea. And then you know what I said? I said, I can't pull his name out of the air. Anyway, he asked me what my favorite movie was, and I could not think. You know what I said? I said, Star Trek First Contact.
First Contact.
Oh, it's awesome. It is great.
Is that...
They go back in time to Earth, because the Borg are trying to change the history of the world, of the Earth, and they go back in time, and then Patrick Stewart and the crew, you know, Captain Picard, they have to chase them back through time, and they go back to Earth when Zefram Cochrane, who discovered warp drive, and they go back right before he discovers warp drive. How do I know all this Zefram Cochrane?
I don't know, dude. Your nerd is showing.
My nerd is really showing, but I love that movie.
But that can't be your favorite movie.
I don't know. I don't know what my favorite movie is. Audrey and I watch movies all the time. What? Favorite comedy? How about that? Favorite science fiction? How about that? Favorite drama? Favorite murder mystery? You can't go, with your favorite movie? I don't know. My friend Kelly Asbury recently passed away. He said his favorite movie of all time was To Kill a Mockingbird. And so I don't know how I've gotten through life and I never watched To Kill a Mockingbird. So Audrey and I sat down and watched To Kill a Mockingbird. And I was a film major, a TV, radio, TV, and film major. And I get it. I understand. But I made so much fun of Kelly every time. I go, yeah, but it's like, it's you know, but it's way funnier than To Kill a Mockingbird. So I don't know. I love science fiction. I love... I don't know. Like, what are we watching right now? We just got through. Okay, Matt, let's discuss the Umbrella Academy.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So we just finished the second season. Everything was... spoiler alert. Should we do that? The second to the last episode.
Okay.
Oh, come on. It jumped the shark. Come on. Oh,
it's been a couple of weeks since I've
watched
it.
When the dad goes in and kills everybody in the meeting place after Kennedy is shot. Oh, come on.
Oh, yeah.
We just went, what? I love that show. But that was like, what are they doing? Do you know what I'm saying? It was such a non sequitur.
Yeah, they're creating possibilities for season 3.
Oh, my gosh. It was like, no, don't go there. And I like science fiction.
Yeah. Oh, actually, when that happened, my kids were totally like, what is going on?
Exactly. Yeah. It's either an amazingly brilliant move, or it's like, was someone smoking crack when they wrote this?
It just seemed like a kind of like an easy choice in the writer's room. It's like they can't write their way out of it, so we're going to do something really insane.
There are a couple of brilliant actors on there. Who's the one
so
that
played...
What's the character's name that plays the... he's the gay guy that has
but I can't remember. Yeah,
Klaus.
I don't know
Klaus.
The actor's name.
Klaus. That guy is. I mean,
so good.
He steals every stinking scene. He's unbelievably great.
And have you heard him interviewed?
No. What's he like?
He's Irish, and you can barely understand a word that comes out of his mouth.
No. Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, that
yeah,
makes
yeah.
it even
he's brilliant.
That makes it even better.
Yeah.
That
same
is
thing
great.
With the big muscle guy. He's from like England or something, Australia, New Zealand.
Wow. I love casting on shows like that. It's so good. And Netflix spares no expense. So good.
Yeah.
So great. Anyway. Yeah, I love that. Season 3 is going to be awesome. All right. Now we're losing people.
People are like, they left after you said spoiler alert.
They left after I pulled out my digital watch from 1975. They're like, all right, we're... You know, this is a... We have nothing to do during
And then
you
started talking about First Contact.
Yeah, they're right. We have nothing to do during this pandemic, but this is more torture. All right. You know what I hate about doing these, Matt? Is by the time I'm done, my place is always a mess with crap because I've shown everything and pulled it off the shelves, and now I got to put it all back together. All right. Again, tomorrow at 10 a.m. Pacific, we're debuting... some of the best of Jose Jalapeño on a stick.
Si, senor. My video comes on tomorrow at 10 a.m. Pacific. Please watch it, por favor.
Flair for the floor. Yeah. See?
Mm-hmm.
And so that'll be great. And then next week, we're actually going to do what we said we were going to do today, and that's some of the best of or the best of my worst or the worst of my best character failures. I'm going to try and dig those out of storage and see how many I can find. And including Tony the Talking Meatball. Because Jose Jalapeno on a stick worked, why not Tony the Talking Meatball? He'll be here. Along with Diane from Dinner for Schmucks. She'll be here. And you'll see
And let's not forget it. I've seen quite a few people ask about Monkey.
Monkey will be here. Monkey was not a failure. I'll show Monkey because he hadn't been in the show. Monkey was awesome. But
people want him back. You know that, right?
All right. Maybe. It's just the
I'm
funniest.
Just saying, I don't know where you go with it, but people are asking.
It's because the funniest thing he did was pick his nose.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. No, I was just like, yeah. Oh well. Yeah.
There's a reason people like Blazing Saddles, you know? I mean,
I hate to think that I'm the Blazing Saddles of the comedy business.
I don't know. That movie's got legs.
He does fart jokes. He's brilliant. Nope. All right. Thanks, you guys.
Kara Selby says she loves the Monkey.
Oh, all right. I guess. Maybe. We'll bring him back next week. He doesn't talk very much either. It's all one word sentences because he's not too smart. Oh, boy. All right. Thanks, everybody. This has been lots of fun. I'm waiting for you to turn it off. I forgot. You can't. I got to do it.
Oh, you're here.
Yeah. I've actually enjoyed this one. I love showing stupid... Yeah. I love showing stupid stuff in my office. This stuff could go on forever. It really could. Anyway, thanks, everybody. And it's off to sign more Funko Pops. We're catching up. All the ones on PayPal have been done, and they're catching up on the other ones. And I got to go in and sign because they've almost caught up to how many I signed. So, anyway... I'm off to the warehouse to sign some more. How's the aquarium doing? Someone asked that. It's great. Thank you. All right, everybody. You guys are awesome. Love you the best. And stay safe out there and wear your mask, whatever, except when you're at home or when you're driving by yourself. Don't wear a mask when you're driving by yourself. Matt, that drives me crazy. You don't need a mask when you're driving by yourself. Okay. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next time.